It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's a big week when RHAP is on the road in Chicago. Check out my live show from Chicago. That's going to be up on Thursday, Wednesday night. Shannon Gus is going to be live with you with Kelly Wentworth after Survivor. And we preview the Dondi finale with Deal or No Deal Island host Joe Manganiello, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Hello everyone, Shannon Gus here getting you ready for our week 4 ex interviews for Australian Survivor Titans v Rebels, which means we have 2 ex interviews this week because, spoiler alert, the middle episode was a non-elimination. First I spoke to Charles about episode 10 and the way that all went down and his whole game, and then Kelly. A lot going on with Kelly, obviously a lot of fun was had to talk about the merch store and also obviously her game. You'll hear it all, but we're going to be talking a lot about Kelly tonight when I recap this week with Simon Mee, Talking Tribal as well, is already out in podcast form on YouTube, on 10play. It's everywhere. If you can't find it, it may be a skill issue because truly it's everywhere. So thank you so much for listening. Hope you check out all of the content and I will see you on the other side. Charles, welcome to RHAP. I'm so sorry to see the way that it went last night with a really, really big twist. I truly think you are one of the most twist-screwed people I've ever seen. So I'm really sorry to see you go out of the game like that.
Thanks so much. I really appreciate it. I am very sorry as well. But anyway, it is what it is and I can't change it now. But I have dwelled on that night for the past 6 months, I'll be honest.
Let's continue that dwelling. I'd love to talk about.
Let's dive into hopefully, it doesn't trauma. Turn into a rant.
From me or from you?
No, from me. I'm, yeah, anyway.
I've got a couple ready to go.
Together.
Yeah. All right. Well, okay. Let's start with the rebels that you weren't aligned with, Ferris, Eileen, and Raymond specifically. What was the relationship like with them? Because obviously you got pretty heated at that tribal. Like, how do you look back at those relationships and that tribal council now?
So they were actually Funnily enough, watching it back last night was strange because right before that tribal, the relationships were actually very strong. And after the tribal and now, our relationships are very strong as well. I mean, I had lunch with Ferris and Eileen last week, believe it or not. So we get along really well socially, and I think the issue was for me anyway, that with respect to Ferris, I thought that obviously he's a good game player. I thought that he was, trying to pull the strings too much and sometimes trying to be too clever. And I'm a very direct person, and I think my strength out there was that I was very direct, and people trusted me, and people, I think, in large part liked me. There was a similar issue with Eileen, but I think Eileen's problem was that, she was playing double agent with everyone, all the time. And to be honest, I don't really know if Eileen truly knew where she was actually aligned, in the finish. So there were a few times where Eileen, tried to come to me and tell me to keep an open mind, which I think, there were the words used a couple of times last night. And the first few times I was very open to working with Eileen and very open to keeping an open mind. But then time and time again, and we saw a couple of instances of this, but probably not all of them, people came to me separately and said, this is what's up. Eileen's just thrown your name out and she wants you gone. I mean, I've been told by Eileen that it's because I am so direct and I outed her double agent gameplay throughout the game in quite an open manner, so she didn't really like that. But that being said, I was pretty open with everyone. I told Ferris what I thought about him and his gameplay during the game. I told Eileen what I thought about her and her gameplay during the game, and most people appreciated that because they respected my openness.
Yeah, so obviously, with the confrontation at that tribal council, like, was it based on Eileen turning it back after you'd been kind of, you had the whole hair code the whole day, and then she goes rebel strong? I mean, Val's obviously pretty heated on that, in regards to Ferris, but I feel like, you're part of that well as well. So, as you said, like, the relationships are good before and after that tribal council, but was it that kind of betrayal in that that kind of like got it to that level?
I think you've kind of nailed it. It was the betrayal of that tribal, but kind of compounded by the fact that there were a series of betrayals beforehand. And at the discussion at the well, when I said, you've had a really tough game because you've been aligned with Ferris and he's kind of calling the shots and has been calling the shots with Garrick and just, whispering between themselves and telling you and Ray what to do, which I think, well, I think is a true account of what happened. I think Eileen probably, I mean, at the time she said it was as well, and agreed with me in relation to that. I'm not sure whether that was the truth or not, but I felt as though we had, or we could have had something going. And to me, being, I mean, I spoke about logic last night. I was quite a logical and calculated player. It just didn't make sense for Eileen, in my mind, to make that last ditch attempt. To, go rebel strong one final time and in front of everyone. God knows why Eileen did that. But I mean, really, you'll have to ask Eileen about that. But in my mind, she kind of desperately tried the rebel strong line before the Garrick vote in an attempt to send me home again, and it failed miserably. Even she wasn't rebel strong at that point. She voted for Kelly at the previous tribal council. That's another thing. And she asked to work with us right before that last tribal council, and expressed a willingness to us to vote another OG rebel out. So it is what it is. But the whole thing just didn't make a lot of sense to me, considering her previous conduct and her previous conduct leading up to, that final day, and then her conduct on the final day, and then, turning it around at the last minute in front of everyone was just bizarre.
But she was going home though, right? Like, walking to that tribal council, there's a split on her and Ferris. Like, she's out the door, right? So maybe she's just at that point, like, last ditch effort.
I mean, maybe, but I know that Eileen's kind of Anyway, it wasn't as clear cut as that. And maybe she was
It wasn't?
thinking along those lines.
Who, what was the plan if that wasn't the plan?
I mean, like, oh, definitely there was a plan to split across Eileen and Ferris. But I mean, there could have been a last minute attempt to go across Ray as well, or Ferris could have played an idol for another person. We didn't think that he would. And actually, at that point, so Eileen had expressed a willingness to work with us, and at that point, Ray also had expressed a willingness to work with us and put a vote on Ferris. So anyway, there's a whole range of things that could have happened, but reading minds is something that I just can't do. As I say, God knows why Eileen did that, but I was a victim in the end, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, what was your reaction to the twist and then trying to survive through that? Obviously, losing 5 of 6 votes from your alliance. That's many of the votes that your alliance had, almost all of them. So what was your thought process through from that challenge onwards?
So when JLP initially announced the twist, obviously I wasn't thrilled about it, because there was such a clear majority on our end, and we'd worked really, really hard. I mean, I don't think they show, considering the highlight has been Kirby and Ferris going at it, and I think that's I understand why it's the case. They're very, very strong players. But we had worked very, very, very hard to get through that previous tribal where Garrick went home. And kind of we thought we were on the other side of that, and we had a really good alliance going, and we all kind of trust each other. And before that tribal, Scott turned to me and was like, I feel really good about this. It's been so rare throughout this game that I feel like I'm in a decent position, that I can trust everyone in my alliance, and I feel that like that with you guys. So it's feeling really good. And then he announces the JLP announces the twist, and I kind of thought that sucks. That's really, really annoying. And why tonight out of all nights do they have to have a twist? But obviously I don't call the shots. And then I did think to myself when we were preparing for the twist, all hope's not lost, because what are the chances of Eileen and Ferris getting up, and then what are the chances of Eileen and Ferris then voting us out? And I kind of saw those train of events as still unlikely, considering, as you say, we had so many more votes or potential votes than them. But anyway, I knew that if Ray got up, I mean, I love Ray to death. He's not the best at challenges sometimes. But if Ray did get up, I think that, well, I doubt that he would have voted for me, because we had a really good relationship. But I knew that if Eileen and Ferris won a vote, then I'd definitely be in the crosshairs.
Winner obviously plays an idol. Do you think you would have been the target regardless? And if so, why of the three of you, even over someone like Valeria, who was pretty harsh on Ferris in that tribal council, like what in your relationships do you think makes you the target there?
So I think Ferris definitely wanted Winagon, and there's a moment in that tribal where he actually says, it's actually a really cool moment, although I was on the wrong, I mean, we were on the wrong side of it, where Winner just asks Ferris straight up, are you going to vote for me? And Ferris says, I am. And then Winner says, say Wallah, which means kind of swear to God in Arabic, and is something that Ferris would take very seriously. And Ferris looks at Winner and says Wallah, and at that point I knew that they were splitting the votes. So I didn't know necessarily whether I would be the split, but I had a pretty good idea, considering Eileen knew that I was outing her game and her double agent plays constantly. And I think a couple times she said to me that she found me scary because of that. So I knew that she'd be coming for me, and if Ferris was voting for Winner, then Eileen would be voting for me, especially considering Val said to Ferris, I think she said to Ferris at one point, why don't you play your idol for Eileen? And everyone was very complimentary towards Val as a result of her saying some stuff like that during travel. So anyway, it was pretty clear to me that that I was going to be a potential vote, and I thought at that point that they'd split the vote as well.
So, there was so much given, in terms of the Kirby Ferris debate last week, and you said about that trust. We also heard a lot about like the numbers, a four versus a three. What was the major driving factor for you taking out someone like a Garrick over someone like Kirby?
I mean, it was definitely a numbers thing. That was kind of the primary driver. Also, I think something that people don't necessarily appreciate that much, watching it, at home, is that the relationships that people have and people's personality traits, are a massive driver for things like that too. Garrick and Ferris were super, super tight, and they would constantly just be talking amongst themselves about gameplay and strategy just all the time. And I think Ray, to a lesser extent, was involved in those conversations, and Eileen was kind of a little bit on the outer, I felt, and fluttering between alliances and trying to play that double agent side of things. So I thought that, given Ferris and Garrick's closeness, that I'd never be an equal with those two, and I didn't trust Eileen at all, given that she'd kind of come for me time and time again. So they were the main driving factors, socially, but then it just made a lot of sense, rather than to be a three on the bottom of a four, to have an alliance of equals with a three and a three. There were some challenges with the three and the three. Kelly is quite difficult to manage sometimes. I love Kelly, but she can be a little bit difficult to manage, and got frazzled sometimes. And people were throwing my name out as like the decoy vote, and she'd come and tell me, and then stir things up and make things just very, very complicated. But anyway, that's kind of how everything. Everything was decided, but it was a joint decision with everyone taking into account a range of factors. But pulling the wool over Garrick and Ferris's eyes was definitely, it wasn't easy. They kind of looked straight through you.
Yeah, so we didn't get to see enough of your relationships and where you sat on OG Titans. Can you let us know how you kind of saw the dynamics and the hierarchy of that tribe, how united you kind of felt it was, and where you felt your primary relationships were?
Yeah, so it was super united, to be completely honest, or in large part amongst the dominant alliance. So very early on, actually, I had to make a decision because there was a discussion with me, Frankie, and Nathan around a well. I think it was on in episode. It would have been in episode one, and they don't show me providing much input into that discussion. I think they mute my microphone at one point. But during that discussion, Frankie and Nathan come to me and say, "Who are you thinking? Here are the people that we think we can work with. Here are the people that we think we're on, that are on the chopping block." And he threw out the names in particular of Viola and Mark. From that discussion, and another couple of discussions I'd had with, whatever you want to call them, the middle-aged mafia or whoever. Kitty, Caroline, Eden, Mark, Val, and Viola. I went to Viola. I had a really strong relationship with her at that point, and said, "This is what's happened, Frankie and Nathan threw your name out. I know we said that we'd be honest with each other. I don't want to alarm you. I don't think it's going to happen, but this is what's what." And I did the same with Mark as well. And I think from that point, that really kind of solidified my relationships with Mark and Viola. Although Mark was playing so many different narratives with so many different people, I didn't really trust him all that much. Whereas someone like Eden, who I formed really close bonds with early on, was a little bit more tactful, with his relationship building. And I think we were a lot more discreet than Mark was with other people. So I think kind of the person I was closest to was Eden. I had a really good relationship with Caroline as well. And I mean, I don't know whether being us three being parents has anything to do with it, but we all had that in common. And also had really good relationships with Viola, Mark. I didn't have really great relationships at the time with Valeria and Winner, but obviously formed pretty close bonds with them in the New Titans tribe.
Yeah, well, I feel like I manifested the Eden Charles Alliance preseason. I'm glad it happened, even if I didn't get to see it.
I know. It was great. It really was great. And it was like a lot of because being in a couple can be so dangerous, and we both understood that really clearly. We would have, really quiet, covert discussions on the beach when people had, gone to sleep, and there wasn't a lot of people around that could see us talking. Or we'd kind of just have a quick check-in once a day, being like, "What are you thinking? What do you think about the gameplay? Is it going okay? Are you feeling nervous about anything? Yep, cool, done." It would literally be like 30 seconds, but we just had an understanding, which was really nice.
Yeah, well, last question. Viola told me on Talking Tribal that you were sabotaging the fishing efforts. You're a vegan, as a vegetarian. I appreciate this greatly. And no one
Yeah.
knew. Apparently, she said she didn't know until she got off the island, and then she was pretty upset about it. So can you tell a little bit about the vegan-based plans to save Samoan fish at the expense of your tribe mates eating?
I know. Well, it happened right after we won the fishing equipment. So a couple of people knew that I had previously done a lot of fishing before I was vegan, and I knew quite a lot about fishing. When we won the fishing equipment, I basically said to everyone, "Look, I'm vegan. I don't want to catch and kill fish, but I'll give everyone as many fishing tips as they like. I'll rig up your lines and tie up your lures, and I'll tell you when to fish and where to fish and all that type of stuff." They didn't know that my nightmare scenario was, everyone enjoying a nice meal of fish and rice and beans without me. And I didn't want them to be, full and me to go hungry. I didn't want them to mix their fish in with my rice as well. Like,
Yeah, no,
that would
I
just
feel
be
that.
the worst.
Yeah.
So what I did is I gave them a whole bunch
And the
of,
pot,
really,
everything.
well, exactly,
Yeah,
all of that
100%.
stuff.
Yeah.
So I gave them a whole bunch of bogus fishing tips. I told them, where to fish. I rigged up their lines really bad. And there was even one point where there was one particular lure that I thought was gonna catch a bunch of fish there, because it was just like a good lure for the area. And I bashed that lure to a pulp with a rock. And at one point, Eden came up to me and he was like, "Hey man, what are you doing?" And I was like, "Oh, gee, the thing is, I think these lures are a little bit shoddy. Like, they're a bit old, so I'm just straightening out this lure with the rocks to make it go through the water properly." And he was like, "Gee, man, lucky you're here." And I was like, "Oh my God, if only you knew." But no one found out about it while I was there, and it was a nice, fun moment. So I'm glad that Viola mentioned it.
Yeah, well, look, thank you for saving the fish of Samoa. That means a lot to me. I totally understand. You know, for me, I'm always like, well, what would I do on Survivor as a vegetarian? I'm like, I just wouldn't go on. So I respect that you're like, I will go on and do my part to
And
help
the
the
fish are so
ecosystem.
small.
I know.
Yeah, exactly. The fish are tiny. And like, even at one point, Mark grabbed a crab, and it was like this little crab that was like this
Oh.
big. And I was like, "Realistically, dude, like, are you going to get much meat from that? Can I just let it go?" And he was like, "Yeah, okay, fine."
Yeah. Well, I respect it a lot, Charles. I'm really sorry to see you go, especially the way that you did. I will go to
Thanks so
bat.
much.
No matter how mad the internet might be, I will keep talking about how unfair I felt the twist is. And yeah, I'm really, really sorry to see you go for that reason. I know you're a really big fan of the show, so I hope that it was an amazing experience. And thank you so much for coming
It
onto the
was.
podcast.
Thanks so much, Shannon. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye.
See ya. Bye.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Kelly, welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. I have Rebel Cal in my head. I was just listening to your parody video on Instagram.
Thank you.
It was great. Honestly, that's going to be in my head all day. But Kelly, so sorry to see you go. You were a mammoth character on this season, someone that I think will always be remembered. And I have a lot of questions because you got so much done in your time in the game.
Yes, that's right. Thank you very much for your comments.
Of course. Well, I want to talk about your relationship with Kirby because it felt like it was so important. So can you let me know, like, how did that start so strong and then where did it start to falter?
My story with Kirby is quite beautiful. I have a very strong affinity with Aboriginal people and my brother's an Indigenous man. And Kirby was standing on the beach and I saw this woman and I thought, what a beautiful Aboriginal woman. She looks strong, she looks powerful, and I want to be part of her alliance. And that was the first moment we got to Survivor.
Yeah, and so then where did it all go wrong? Because we saw last night with Raymond and the way that it was going poorly. Was it really just about the idea that they might target Raymond in the future? Was it, as we saw, with those kind of other relationships coming into play? Where did that start to kind of crack?
Look, I was very conscious that we were coming into merge, and I just know that at that point I would like to take out a more significant player. And for me, a more significant player was technically Kirby, right? But there's a loyalty attached to me, so I really didn't want to target Kirby. But technically, she was our significant player, that when I tried to get with the Ferris Alliance, that would have been the best idea. But instead, I said to Kirby, how about we take out someone else? Like, you know, Winner or like Eileen or someone else. And I think Kirby was, in her mind, had her gameplay going on, which is fair enough. Everyone has their own gameplay. And for her, that wasn't the right move. So we had a clash of opinions. And at that moment, I went into protection mode because I protect the underdog. And I just thought, well, I might as well keep going, save Ray and split from my alliance and moved to the second alliance, which was Ferris's alliance.
So you voted for Winner there. Obviously, these relationships like Val and Winner and Charles, who just went, there seems like there's some distance there, especially if you're voting for Winner and thinking he could be a target. What were those relationships like from people who were in your alliance up to this point?
Look, I think that Kirby and Scotty were using the OG Titans to get to merge, and that's what they did tell me. But I had a previous conversation with Eileen and Ferris, and we talked about trying to be Rebel strong as much as we could going into merge. And we had that conversation prior to all of that. And I tried to ask Kirby and Scotty whether we could go OG original Rebels strong, and they didn't want that. So that's why I believed I should take out an original Titan, and hopefully Ferris and Eileen and Ray would have agreed with that.
So did you have hope going into your final tribal council that you would be with Ferris's group against someone like a Winner, or did you feel like everyone was on you at that point?
Look, I'm not going to lie because I'm not a liar. I knew that my back was up against a wall and I had previously put targets on my back, and I managed to, you know, slip under the radar in terms of that first target. I thought, well, they're probably going to think I'm unpredictable and they can't trust me. So I was pretty certain that it was my time to go. But, you know, obviously you hold a little bit of hope because you never want to leave this marvelous game. But yeah, it didn't happen. So,
yeah, well, I'd love to talk about the feast because obviously Kirby sees you talking to Kitty and giving information and kind of painting a target on Kirby's back and your former allies' back. What was the thinking in terms of that? And did you know you were kind of getting clocked in that moment and how that might be perceived?
Absolutely. I did it totally openly. I was public about it. There was no hidden secrets. I did it in front of Scotty because I knew that merge was so close and I'd already previously developed those relationships with Kitty and Caroline when I moved over to the Titans. That was my whole purpose. I actually started to form those little alliances, which is why I didn't tell the Rebels anything. And I just thought, I've got to get in quick. And you hear me say, if I'm not here, please be aware this is what's going on. So Kirby, by that point, I'd made my decision. I knew that they were no longer my alliance. I actually say that in the edit last night. You can hear me. And I thought, well, I've done it now. I'm just going to go right out and tell everyone what's going to happen in post-merge, so people have some understanding of where what we've been dealing with.
Yeah. Well, what about someone like Raymond, who, as you said, you protect the underdog and your relationship with him is so important that that's kind of like a sticking point here. And then he votes for you in this final tribal council. How do you look back at a relationship like that with so much loyalty? And then you see last night, he's not looking hard enough for the idol. I'm sure as, you know, a parent to a young man, maybe you understand that when it's like, you know, your son's not making the bed as he should or something like that. So maybe there's some parallels there. But how do you look back at that relationship with Ray and how it all kind of went down there?
Look, let's just say that Ray didn't really do a lot at all around the camp.
Okay.
He does really remind me of even younger than my 16-year-old son. And so that wasn't a surprise to me. But, you know, genuinely I do believe Ray was stressed at that time. It was very difficult for him. He felt very conflicted, as did I, about the Kirby vote. He felt very conflicted. But, you know, Ray was a beautiful man. It was a very strong bond, but he also was my shield going into merge. And for Ray, I think he just, at that point, he knew I was going, so he knew he had to protect himself. So I would have written down my name too if I was Ray.
Well, from something really positive to something a little bit maybe positive and negative, I'd love to talk about the Alex relationship, which is one of my favorite dynamics that I've seen. So up and down, you single-handedly saved him in the game. It feels like there was no real love lost, though, after that. So tell us about that relationship and why you made the decision to save him over Tobias.
Look, I'm a rebel, right? You know that. Everyone rebel knows Kel. I'm a rebel. I take risks. Rebel Kel, I take risks. I like to throw bombs and grenades in life in general. As a psychologist, that's my job. I actually be, you know, evocative for a reason, you know, because I'm trying to create big emotional reactions. So that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to create a big emotional reaction, number one. Number two, when I saw the cuddle crew, the alliance with Peter was gone. So there was a triangle. So I call it a dynamic of a triangle. And up the top of the triangle was, in fact, Tobias. Alex was on one corner down the bottom and so was Sarah, because them both, they had the strong alliance with Tobias. Sarah and Alex didn't really have a strong alliance. So I knew if I took out that top of the triangle, boom, the alliances were completely blown apart, which is what we saw happen. Alex was scrambling, Sarah was scrambling to try and get new alliances. And I believe that Sarah was going to be one of my shields too. So I was going to bring her closer to me. And also, Alex, you can read. I love Alex to death. Don't get me wrong. We have a frenemy relationship, which is fantastic banter and great for the screen. But you can read Alex. It's pretty obvious. Whereas Tobias was a really quiet, dark horse, just wandering around the camp, not really saying or doing much. That's why when you see me say, hey, do you want to do anything? Do you want to, like, talk to people? No. So, yes, the dark horse is a concern for me. So that was also another reason.
Yeah, well, I did you think you would be a little bit more grateful, though, Alex, in the fact that you had single-handedly saved him?
Like, seriously? But, you know, I know this, though. Sometimes with people, when you really do things to help them out, they can get this anxiety about having to owe you back, and they just don't want to do that. So I feel for Alex there might have been that anxiety. Like, oh, my gosh, I've got to owe Kelly back, and I don't want to owe Kelly back.
I know you said on Talking Tribal about kind of freeing Sarah up and that, and I noticed in your merch store it said, don't be tempted by his big, juicy apple, Snow White. And then I put two and two together when Sarah said last week that you had compared it to Snow White. So that's what that merch is about, right? Yeah.
So all my merch, everything on that merch is everything that I said on the show. Everything from the smiling assassin, my nickname to Ferris, to the mushroom, to the big juicy apple. I really tried to tell her in advance to be voting out Tobias. That whole day I spent hours trying to tell her the fairy tale of Snow White and how that Tobias represented the Wicked Witch with his apple. And she said, and who are you, Kelly? And I said, I'm that little dwarf trying to protect you, that one called Happy. So it was quite a fun time.
Well, what was the mushroom? What's the mushroom shirt?
So you see that in one of the episodes where I pretend as though I know nothing and I'm a mushroom that sits in the dark and it's fed bullshit.
Right. Okay, well, let's talk about it. I mean, you lied about being a psychologist. That was such a big part of your game. Yes. Tell us the reasoning behind that.
Look, I went into the game and I wanted to play the game as a fun, silly, you know, a character that was just very naive and didn't know anything, and so that I could really slip under that radar that I know that I am not a wallflower. I have never been a wallflower in my life. So I knew that wasn't going to work, trying to be a dark horse, being a wallflower. At that point, that wasn't going to work with for that character. So I thought, I'll play it huge. I'll play it profoundly big, funny, crazy, silly. And you know what? People will never see me as a threat. And, you know, it worked. People really didn't ever see me as a threat.
From your perspective, how much of that is put on? Like, how much of the real Kelly did we see out there compared to, like, the character that you feel you were playing out there?
Look, I'm a positive psychologist in that I promote positive psychology. So all that positive energy you saw and that happiness is really me. But I'm smart and I know that the audience wants to have emotional reactions. So I like triggering emotions in people. So, of course, I played my character exceptionally huge because this game needed a character like me. It needed someone who was impulsive and someone who was like totally out there that you couldn't really know what she was doing. I mean, otherwise I feel like it's quite predictable and a little bit boring for me. So I didn't want to be boring and I wanted to create a character that wasn't boring for the TV show. So yeah, you know, viewers have to decide for themselves, I suppose, with that question.
Well, let's talk about one of those very not boring moments where you are sent over to the Titans tribe with the sabotage plan, and you don't go with the sabotage plan, but it seems you kind of also, you know, you end up sticking Rebel strong. So how did you kind of see that experience, those decisions within that, and where did you feel your loyalties were lying within all of that?
Look, remember on that episode, I sit there and I say, don't send me, don't send me. I was really trying to weasel out of it, right? Mm-hmm. Don't send me. They all ordered me to go, basically. So I was like, oh, well, you kicked me out. So I didn't tell a lie. I said to the Titans, they kicked me out. Look, I knew going over there, this was my only opportunity to develop alliances with those people to begin with them. Obviously, you can't do a lot in that short amount of time, but I know that I'm a very social player and I know in my real life people like me. So I just used that skill. And I told them the information that they needed to know that I thought was going to help me. And I didn't go win the challenge because may the best team win, because I had good options on either side. So I actually didn't mind which way it went, to be honest. And getting to the Titans was quite nice. They were lovely people and the Rebels were awesome, but just a very different vibe at both camps. So I was happy for it to go either way. And I'm a risk taker, like I said. So I threw it up to the Survivor gods and, you know, it happened.
Was there anything you told them that we didn't see, maybe about the sabotage plan or because we kind of see also talking about the box or anything like that?
Look, I lied to them about the box. I said to them, there's no box. I think they're just lying to you. I think Ferris is just playing with you. There's no box. So they were all like, okay, is there a box? Is he just lying to us? Because they're already a bit suspicious of Ferris. So that was really fun. That they were really like, maybe there's not a box. I think, and they were actually saying to me, maybe Ferris is just tricking us with a box. I said, of course. I also tried to, in the scramble, because they didn't know what was happening. So in the scramble, they thought that I had a vote. So you actually didn't see me in scramble, but they were actually coming up to me saying, okay, Kel, they were actually scrambling with me, which was quite fun. I liked that. It was a different scramble than the Rebels. And I tried to vote out a big player, you know, a big strong player, because I had a feeling that I'd have to go back to the Rebels because I knew I was going to not throw the challenge. And I know that the Rebels are a stronger tribe when it comes to physical challenges. So I tried to throw out Nathan. I love Nathan, but I tried to talk to them about removing Nathan or Jaden. So they ended up removing Nathan. So, yeah, that was kind of how I wanted it to go anyway.
Were there any key relationships that we missed either on the Rebels or on those couple of days with the Titans? You mentioned Kitty and Caroline, but, you know, players like we kind of see Eileen working with you. Obviously, someone is Scott. Like, Scott is someone that you were aligned with. So looking across those tribes, who else stands out as some really pivotal relationships that you had in the game?
So my pivotal relationships were clearly Kirby and Ray. That's obvious. One pivotal relationship which people don't realise is Ferris. That I really had a wonderful, beautiful relationship with Ferris. That's why I nicknamed him the Smiling Assassin. And I gave him this beautiful, at times, you know, I looked after him, you know, because I saw him struggling at times on the island. He's a big guy. I'm not a big person. You know, he might tell you I gave him some of my food and things like that. I loved Ferris's values. And I really thought that we were aligned in terms of how we were as people. And we both don't drink alcohol, so that was a good thing too. So Eileen was another beautiful relationship I had. Ree, Scotty, and over at the Titans, I didn't have long, but I really liked Nathan. I thought he was a beautiful man. I thought Jaden was hilarious, and I started to try and form those relationships with Caroline and Kitty.
What was it like coming back from the Titans? We see Kirby say, like, it's split down the middle now. Like, we don't sit with those people. And as you said, there were positive relationships there. So what was that like, you know, leading in before the swap?
Look, before I left, I knew that Eileen was trying to play both sides, and I kept saying to her, don't do it, babe, don't do it. But she that was her gameplay. And I was just, I thought Eileen was going to stay with us kind of girls and misfits with Scotty a little bit. So I was a bit surprised by that. And then when Ray said to me, I've gone with Ferris and Garrick and Alex, I wasn't totally surprised, because prior to me going, there was these conversations that we could see forming, and Ray was always on the edge on the periphery of those conversations, and he was on the periphery of ours. So, you know, Ray could have went either way, and I was a bit sad, and I was like, but you gave me your game of girlfriend t-shirt. You know, we can't break up basically now. So, yeah, so I was a bit surprised, and it all happened within the 24 hours I wasn't gone. So that proves that how quickly dynamics shift in this game. They're shifting every hour, every minute, and people in the audience don't realize how fast this game is and how quickly those dynamics can change. That's what makes it such an incredibly brilliant game.
Yeah, well, you definitely brought a lot to that, Kelly. You will be remembered for a very long time. Truly an iconic character. I hope everyone goes, listens to the parody song, buys the merch. Yes. Don't be tempted by his big, juicy apple Snow White top. Like, universal. That's a great buy. It's my birthday tomorrow, Kelly. I will take an apple shirt. I will
your
take
your birthday.
Yeah. Can I have a shirt?
Oh, fantastic.
I really want the Snow White shirt.
Are you single?
No, I'm not. Oh, but I still think it would work in a kind of an ironic way.
Yes, it would work in an ironic way. And I said online, greater than a dating app. Why not buy the Are You Single and walk around the city? And I'm sure you'll attract your new love by doing that. If we only had risk takers in the world, I think my merchandise is going to go off.
Oh, you mean the Are You Single shirt? I thought you were asking if I was single, and I was like, that's a kind of forward. But yeah. I'll take an Are You Single shirt too. There's a lot of good quality merch there, Kelly. So people need to go buy
the
merch.
Thank you so much.
It's in your link in bio, right? People, go to the merch store. But...
Yeah, my link in my bio. Thank you very much. And, like, it's all for fun. And, you know, I also, no one knows, but I want to sell Nathan's jacket that he gave me on the island. I want to raise funds for charity. That's okay. What I want to do. I want to raise funds for mental health. Amazing. So that's what I want to do. I want to put Are You Single on Nathan's jacket, and I want to get me and Nathan to sign it, and I want to auction it off for mental health charity. So that's my hope that I can do. And I'm sure Nathan will be with me on that. And yes, the merchandise is all fun. Please buy it. And my Rebel Kel song is a parody, and it's My Time on the Island. And I think it's I can't sing to save myself, trust me. But it was just the thing that I could do to give back to fans and to give back to the Survivor community, because it is an incredible game. And thank you for being a wonderful podcaster. And thank you for talking tribal and everything like that. It's fantastic.
Well, thank you so much, Kelly. Everyone follow Kelly along for the charity, for the merch, all of it. But thank you so much, Kelly, and hope you have a great day.
Thank you very much. Woo-hoo.
Thank you.
See you.
Bye.
Love you. Bye. Bye.
There you have it, everyone. Honestly, I did not know how to respond to Kelly ending the interview saying that she loved me. I felt like I was caught unaware, like Ryan Atwood in season one of The OC. I love Kelly too. I just, in the moment, it was hard for me to respond in that way. I'd also been just caught out on I thought she was asking if I was single. And I thought the reason she was asking is because a single woman should wear a shirt that says, don't be tempted by his big juicy apple. And maybe a married woman shouldn't, or an attached woman shouldn't. That was my line of thinking, just to clear up what I was thinking at the end of that Kelly interview. But look, we had a lot of fun. I'm glad that we got to clear up some of the merch, and there'll be so much Kelly talk on the recap tonight with Simon. So as I said at the top of the podcast, Talking Tribal is out. You have the exits here, and then the recap with Simon should be out. I'm recording tonight, so in a little bit of time, but hope you guys enjoyed this exit interview. Hope you enjoyed the pre-merge of Australian Titans v Rebels. We are halfway through. It's only been kind of extremely exhausting, but we're having fun. We're having a good time. A lot to talk about with the twist this week, a lot going on. So thank you so much, as always, for supporting the podcast. Follow me at Shannon Gates so you don't miss anything, and I will see you next time. Bye.
Australian Survivor.
Survivor is a
Survivor New Zealand.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.